Please note this podcast contains depictions of eating disorders. This may be a difficult conversation for some listeners. Please feel free to click off this video if you will be negatively affected. Hello, everyone. My name is Asha Omar.
My name is Alia Baraka.
And I'm Raiza Ismail. We are all in 12th grade and a part of the Young Women's Wellness and Leadership Initiative. The goal of our project is to eliminate the stigma around eating disorders and body dysmorphia in the East African community. The toxic influence of social media and society standards cause many people, especially women, to develop body dysmorphia and eventually an eating disorder.
Body dysmorphia and eating disorders affect both men and women. However, according to statistics, 30 million people in the United States have struggled with eating disorders at some point in their lives. 20 million women and 10 million men. We see more of occurrence in women. Therefore, throughout this podcast, our conversation will be focused on eating disorders pertaining to women. Since we are part of the East African community, we'll speak in depth of these disorders in relation to the community.
So what is body dysmorphia? Body dysmorphia is a mental illness identified by an obsessive focus on a perceived flaw in appearance, which may seem minor to other people, but very, very like detrimental in your, you know, in your vision. An eating disorder is a psychological health condition or conditions that allows unhealthy eating habits to develop by individuals. There are three main types of eating disorders. One is anorexia nervosa, the second is bulimia nervosa, and binge eating disorder, also known as BED. There are also other minor or unspecified eating disorders. However, these are the main general eating disorders that are found within people. So it might start with an obsession with food, body weight, or body shape, which can lead to severe cases, eventually resulting in death. And yeah.
So since we clarified what the definitions for both body dysmorphia and eating disorders are. I think it's important to that we talk about like what are the causes, what makes these women, develop these disorders. And what I think the main cause is probably shrinking women, like the constant shrinking that women go through because of their body shapes. And this is through the media, this is through like families and stuff like that. And I want to bring light to like diet culture and thin privilege, which are terms that not many people are actually aware of. And to kind of clarify what that means is diet culture is this idea that weight loss is good and thinness equates to good health. And then thin privilege is when like people equate having a certain body type to always thinking that that person is like productive and healthy and they're practically like put on a pedestal. And they're treated obviously better than a woman who doesn't have that specific body type or a thin frame. And so I just want to just like bring up some questions like how do you guys think the different treatment women received affect the way that they see their own bodies?
I think that really has a negative effect on on how they see themselves, because if if a person tells you you look healthy and you're a person with an eating disorder, most times people with EDs associate being healthy with weight gain. And so, you know, they go harder on themselves and they make themselves, you know, purge more or start eating even more unhealthier. But on the other hand, if you say to a person with an ED that they look skinnier or you treat them nicer or give them more concern and tell them like, oh, you're looking skinnier, are you okay? Like it tells them that they're doing the right thing and that they should give it up. They should keep it up. And both of those treatments are very damaging. And I think in general, people should just steer clear from telling people about their body shape or starting conversations about people's body shape and size.
Yeah, and I also want to continue that to those who are like ignorant about the situation, people who suffer with EDs, like, it's not like a lifestyle choice that they choose, you know, to live, to like want their bodies to look this way. This is actually a real mental health condition that they suffer from. And I feel like people should really, like Raida said, we should really sit down and, you know, bring up discussions like this, you know, bring them out into the light from the darkness. When discussions like this are being, you know, are being observed and are being brought up, a lot of people can actually, like, can be helped. And right now, you've heard you've heard the numbers we've reported, but how many more that go unnoticed? How many more that go unreported, you know? I think that's something.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think, like, back to what I said at the beginning, social media has, like, a very big impact on this. Like, I think social media and, like, movies and stuff like that, they romanticize, like, having EDs and stuff. So, like, how does a person suffering from eating disorders, like, how do you think they should go about social media and stuff? And what do you think, like, the effects of social media are?
Social media has, like, huge, huge effects. Personally, I think one of the root causes. I mean, before the age of social media, there were eating disorders, even if we didn't know about them. But I think social media takes a really, really huge toll on people that suffer from EDs. And I feel like it's really hard to restrict social media. But one thing I would say is, like, to spark the conversation in social media, like, you know, to advocate for it more, because nowadays, if you want to raise an issue about a particular thing, like, you, it's like you go to social media, you know, so, and that way more people will see it, more awareness could be spread. I would say that's one other reason. Second reason, it's like, it's super hard to, like, you know, to, you know, be motivated to actually see yourself and say, social media, this is toxic for me, I'm done, I'm not gonna look at, you know, all these models and celebrities and, you know, let that influence me. I think that's something really hard for people, but I would say awareness is a big thing that can be done. And even from the start, if we actually bring it up in our communities, it would be really good.
Yeah. And I think the problem is not only, like, models and stuff. Usually, like, if you watch shows or movies, you see people with eating disorders are usually, you know, rich white girls who are skinny, and it's almost taken lightheartedly, you know, as a joke. And it only represents, you know, white girls who are already skinny, and it's like almost a joke. They look in the mirror and they go, like, oh, I don't think I'm skinny, which it is, like, a valid eating disorder, but it does not show, like, the actual effects it has on, like, everyday life and how it affects the person's function. And also, like, the gory side of the disorder, it's not always just standing in the mirror. Most people take action and, you know, really damage their bodies just to make it look a certain way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think that's like a very, very good point about the how society just sees EDs, like, how they think that it's like just white women who go through this. There's like a great majority, of course, that Black women also suffer from this, and it's kind of like a silent suffer because no one is acknowledging it. And you know, and this doesn't just go for eating disorders. I think many different things people just kind of like brush aside women of color. So yeah, that's a very important point that you made about Raida. And I also want to add on to Alia's part about the community. I think that the community is like plays a very big part in this, and they should be like the number one people who this awareness should be spread to, especially the East African community. So Ali, do you want to touch more on that?
Yeah, definitely. I would say that our communities, we need, you know, in order for our communities to thrive, we need support. And when I mean support, I mean within, like, we should, you know, build up each other. We should lend a hand when everyone is in help. There's always a YouTuber that I like to watch, and he always mentioned that someone is hurting, I hurt too. You know, if your daughter is hurting, I'm hurting too, because we're all one. Like, if one person is hurting, it's not something that we should brush aside. You know, if we ignore that, there will be other cases that pop up. You can't just like brush aside an issue, which is very popular within the East African community. It's like one family might see it, they might sweep it under the rug, and like, it's like, okay, you know, we'll just ignore this. You know, we won't hear any more of this. This is just peculiar that it happens only to us, you know? And then if you continue to do that, cases will go up. You know, even if an issue may sound like so peculiar that you never heard of it, and the first time you ever heard of it was like within your family, or just, you know, within like that you see in your kids, that you see with your extended family members, it like I think that a lot of times people may think that this is not like common, or may think that this can only happen to them, you know, and that everything needs to be kept quiet. And a lot of times culturally, it may have to do with like status, or you know, what people will say about you. And our community members, and they have to realize, speaking from a first generation student, I would say that you know, we live in a country where our people are a minority, and if we aren't there for them, if we push them out, where do you think they will go? You know, who will be their support? If you won't be their support, who will be their support? You know, your children, your people are more closer to you than, I guess, anyone else outside. And supporting each other during these heavy times can also lighten, you know, other communities as well. And I would say that if everybody comes together on this, if we raise awareness for this, and people, you know, actually contribute to it instead of just, you know, bringing judgments, or just ignoring it, you know, enforcing cultural values on top of it, it's not gonna help. And one of the biggest treatments, I would say, that are also even found is individual, group, or family, you know, psychotherapy. And that's something that helps people. That's like one of the biggest treatment plans for people with EDs. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, I, sorry, Raida. Do you wanna go?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, as for treatments and professionally and personally, I really want to talk about a little bit about this organization I found. This organization I found online. It's based in the UK. It's called Midday Somali Development Network, and what it does is that it brings a lot of credible Somali, psychologists and therapists together, and it creates like a safe place for people who are Somali who have mental health disorders, and it's very culturally and religiously based, and there's like imams and everything. And I think that if we, you know, start more organizations like that, or you know, have more of those safe places for people who are Somali in our communities just around the world, that would be a very good thing for us.
Yes, I 100% agree. I think that's like a very good idea. And I also want to mention how like acknowledgement is always the first step to everything. Like if our community doesn't see what's clearly in front of their face, there will never be any change. And that's same for like normalizing unhealthy eating habits. If the community doesn't see any wrong, how would we expect them to correct it, you know? So like we said before, it's crucial that our local leaders, and most importantly, our parents, to be educated on this, because an uneducated parent would not be able to recognize the disorder from the symptoms that are displayed, even if it is in like plain sight. They might think that they are just like the kid is like not interested in the food, or starting to give up on and starting to give them like bigger servings and stuff like that, when in reality the child needs actual proper care from like a specialist. And so what I think the parents can do is I think they can seek help with their child and supporting them throughout like the whole process and throughout the recovery and everything. Like if they actually visit specialists with them and go like watch videos and, you know, actually do research and get educated on this with their child, I think it would make like a very big difference. I also just wanted to say, like, I have like this question. What is the reason behind the problematic statements made towards people's bodies and stuff? And this is more towards like families making these statements, because I think that's like a huge issue right now. So what is your guys' intake on that?
I would say that maybe like it, you know, culturally, personally, like when we would have family get-togethers, a lot of times, I don't know about men, but a lot of times, like, the female members within, you know, the family, you would see that, like, oh, the last time I saw you, like, you gained so much weight, or the last time I see you, like, you're in, you know, in a great shape, what happened? Or sometimes you would just see, like, oh, wow, like, you know, she's getting her part, like, well done, you know, she's losing all that pregnancy weight, you know, she's exercising, doing jump ropes more, or, and sometimes when they say that, like, also in front of other people in the get-together, some people will be, I guess, kind of sensitive to that. And I think it's just the constant commenting to them. It may seem like normal, or it may just seem like an inside joke and it's whatnot. But I think that's like a practice that should not be done, and it should be taken seriously.
Yeah, that's very true. And also, I think it's just like these statements that they've been making these statements like and stuff like that, and for so long that now it's become normalized. I think it's like a normal thing to just ask someone, oh my God, are you pregnant or something, like when you know that the person's actually not. So I think just like intrusive questions and things like that, they actually take like a big toll on the people, you know, with eating disorders and stuff. So definitely watching your words, and not even with people with eating disorders, like everyone in general, I feel like you should always watch what you're saying and stuff. Now I want to go on to, like, I think, what is a way that we could, like, reassure, what do you guys think of ways like we can like reassure someone with an eating disorder, or like what do you guys think that the outcome should be from doing this research and things like that?
I think for reassurance, important things to say to someone who has an eating disorder is telling them that it's okay to take a rest day. For people who are recovering from eating disorders, it's very hard to get back to the, you know, to the usual or like the normal in our minds, you know, eating habits. And it's very hard to, you know, keep up with that if you're recovering from an eating disorder. So, and they have a mindset that they constantly have to work at it. However, it's very important to, for them and for anyone to take rest days. This could be like a day off from school or work or just anywhere to lay down and just think. And it could be an opportunity to congratulate them for their successes and their hard work. And it's also like important to give them like a little, you know, reassurance, things like, oh, you're worth more than your eating disorder, I'm here with you, or, you know, anything to make them feel like they're not alone in this situation.
Yeah, just to like add on to that, I would say like using terms like she is an anorexic or she's a bulimic can be damaging, because someone may have this, may have an eating disorder, but nobody is the eating disorder. You shouldn't, you know, put a name to, you shouldn't put a name to someone and say that that's what you are. You might suffer from it, but that doesn't mean, you know, that makes up like all of you, because everybody is worth more than their eating disorder, just like Raida said. I would also say that like getting a diagnosis is like the first step to anyone who is struggling from having this eating disorder or anything. Many times people either self-diagnose or misdiagnose themselves, which can be detrimental to their health. Therefore, it's like extremely important that you actually visit a medical professional, and treating an eating disorder will take time and patience, and it requires psychological and nutritional training, as well as psychiatric and medical monitoring and tests. I know this may seem like a daunting task and stuff. However, it's important that you undergo these steps.
Yeah, misdiagnosis and like just self-diagnosing for any mental health disorder is very bad, and you don't want to, you know, start treating yourself for something that you don't have. And so it's very important to like, you know, visit your medical professional, your doctor, to have talks with them and to actually go in and diagnose yourself. So what do you guys think is the next steps after this project for not only us, but for everyone to start educating the community about EDs?
I want to bring up the fact that our communities, I think, since mental health issues to begin with, generally, EDs or anything outside the scope, like, they're not talked about usually within the culture, since like we have like majority Muslim culture, Muslim individuals within our community, we a lot of times people can equate this to like, oh, you know, she's possessed by you know, a jinn, or oh, you know, this, like, she's been having issues like this. And like basically, if there are mental health issues are not to be acknowledged, they're really, it's like, and if a person has them, it's like, oh, you know, they're doomed, or oh, they're disgraced in a way. And I think one of the biggest steps would be to learn about our history. Little did we know that in fact it was Muslims who started the first mental health facility in the world. It was founded in Baghdad, Iraq. And it's like more than 1,000 years old. And I feel like a lot of knowledge has been, you know, has been buried, and we actually need to like revive ourselves and see that, oh, these things are a big issue. You know, we shouldn't just let like culture is great, but at the same time, we shouldn't just let our tradition, you know, cover these aspects up that people struggle with. If we want better environment for ourselves, if we want better environment for our parents, our elders, our kids, our youth, it's to understand ourselves, to you know, and to see like how can we address those problems properly.
Yes, I agree. And to add on, I would just say like this was like the end of our discussion, and I think it was like a very meaningful discussion. And to our listeners, we actually have a surprise ending. So as a group, we wrote a spoken word poem called Digesting Hidden Truths. And it takes you into the point of view of someone suffering from an eating disorder. It also highlights the roles that our communities and social media outlets have on young girls' body image and eating habits. Essentially, it's just like a call to action. We want to let girls know that they aren't alone and they can win this fight. So let's start the poem. It's called Digesting Hidden Truths. I sit across from my mother at the dinner table. She stares at me and asks, why aren't you eating? I look at her plate that she's barely touched and ask her the same question. You see, from a mother's point of view, her daughter doesn't like the food. From a mother's point of view, her daughter's protruding bones and constant exercise is healthy. The compliments she receives from losing 10 pounds in 1 week.
Tell me, mother, which matters more, your daughter internally or externally? You shall not belittle your daughter for what society deems her to be. Our world did not come to be for what it is to be through looks and sizes. Rather, it is the cognitive intuition people possessed to make it grow and innovative. All people have their struggles, big or small. Hardships never end, because that's the worldly life or what it is to be. Although with the dedication comes ease. Listen, my young sister, pop culture is not to be appeased. So why? We all lose ourselves when we chase the trends, their speed less than a light. So why do we waste this precious time, not guaranteed for tomorrow? Looks and money don't attain inner peace.
For all the girls and boys struggling to keep the food down and struggling to fight the urge to surrender to society's mad standards, trying to find a way to love themselves and their body, who give up their mental, emotional, and physical health just to please others and themselves. Society is not to be pleased. You are worth more than any number a scale can display. You are much more than your eating disorder. And if you're still here today, you have the potential to do anything. Acknowledge first that you are not alone in your fight. Hundreds of thousands of others heal and recover from this mindset. And our media and community should do better. Letting people believe that there is a perfect body shape is a misdeed. Black women and white women alike carry this burden. All body types in all skin colors are beautiful.
I just love this piece. I love every part of this poem. I think it's just like so amazing and very, very touching. It's just time for our community to know that these mental health issues and our child's future should be in our best interest. And this is something that we have to bring light to, and it needs to be highlighted. This is a topic we are very passionate about, and it's disappointing when it isn't given enough attention. So as young East African girls, we acknowledge the fact that it's our turn to take the baton and lead by example. With that being said, thank you everyone who helped to make this project possible. And a special, special thank you to all the listeners as well.
Yeah, thanks for being here with us. This was a very important topic for just everyone to discuss. And we really hope that you guys take action within your communities and your family members to make sure that this is not a problem that, you know, just dwells in the back of our minds.
I also want to touch to that. And, you know, one water droplet, it may seem like nothing, but a little comes a long way. And, you know, it all starts with one. So, you know, speaking with your relatives and family members, that it's no joke. Commenting on body is no joke. Commenting on individuals and, you know, their eating behaviors, particularly as they start to grow, you know, it's not like when they're young and when you're feeding them as infants. People do think for themselves, and everybody's eating behaviors are not to be, you know, are not to be taken lightly. And yeah, I would say awareness is key, you know, so this issue can be highlighted in our communities. And yeah, our children's future, it's best, you know, when struggles are highlighted and brought to the stage.
Thank you.